cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holley. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We should have Mr. Lou Michaels here in a minute. He was trying to call us and we were wandering in, and we will connect. We always do. We have Dow futures up 53, and NASDAQ futures up 4. We've got S&P futures up 4. This is after a pretty big rally yesterday. We were down 10, 11 while the show was on, and ended up pretty much up the same amount we were down Friday before the impeachment talk on Friday. We went down, and yesterday we came back up, and we're talking again to China, and everybody talked all day about a China deal, and many, I don't have any idea at this point what this China deal, other than being the deal and being the thing we talk about, what it's going to encompass. I mean, they're going to buy some more soybeans. They're going to get back to maybe where they were. I mean, what are we even doing here? I think people are grasping at straws here. I honestly do. And I listened to a lot of what the speeches and all the stuff was, the impeachment yesterday. I can't wait till Lou calls in because we can certainly find out what all this stuff means. We're going to have Wayne Matson on tomorrow to talk about the logistics of what happened with Nixon and all those guys and the timing and what happens if it's before convention, after convention. Do you have any, off the top of your head, when's the Iowa caucus? Do you have any idea? Is it like November? Or it's this year, right?
I have no idea.
I think they're in the fall, but I listened to Trump talk yesterday afternoon with the Ukrainian president. Did you ever watch Boston Legal?
I did not, but I know what it is.
Well, the thing was at times funny. I thought it was a terrific show. Was on one of the stations.
It was on Fox, I believe. By the way, the Iowa Democratic caucuses will take place on Monday, February 3rd, 2020.
Right, so it's a ways.
Yeah,
so
5 months away.
Right, so
really 4.5 months away.
So it's a long time. So it's a relatively long time. I would think. Whatever is going to happen with this impeachment thing will be over by then, one way or the other. Lou says he can't get through on the 888 number.
It's not ringing.
Well, he says he can't get through.
Just now he tried?
Says he did, yeah.
All right, I'll reach out to him.
All right. But there was, anyway, one of the, I really liked the show. Well, of course, there were so many good people in it that, that's why I couldn't keep going across too much. But James Spader was a star and had William Shatner and had, God, who was the lead? It wasn't Diane Cannon, it was, how was her name? But they had a lot of good people in the darn thing, and it was, you know, some parts funny, some parts interesting. But the upshots or the themes of the show was that William Shatner was suffering from mental degradation, and he had been a spectacular attorney in his time. Evidently, he'd never lost a case, but he got to the point where he couldn't hold a thought, and he would constantly repeat himself. And he would constantly have essentially the same story. Well, I'm Denny Crane. I never lost a case. What do you mean you're talking to? You're talking to Denny Crane. Whose name's on the building? But he had his whole routine he would go through. And I'm sure no psychologist, I'm sure nothing, but I listened to Trump again yesterday. I'm telling you, I'm worried about the dude. I mean, as an individual, I don't want to see anybody. It's this constant stream of things he's accomplished that are flat out wrong, and if you hear him twice a day, you hear the same thing twice a day. It's like a stump speech of accomplishments, and I wonder if he's losing it. I hope he's not. I sure hope he's not. But I don't. I must have heard three times yesterday. So many people are working. More people that have ever worked. Well, the population's bigger than it's ever been, so of course more people are working. But he must have gone through a routine about how he's created millions and millions of jobs, more than any president ever. He can't believe anybody's even criticizing him, and there's trillions of dollars more, and how we're kicking China's ass, and basically, and we're doing billions and billions better, and they're doing billions and billions worse, and they're going down the rail. Well, so I dug out the numbers yesterday, and I'm thinking, it shouldn't be that difficult. From December 2016, I'll give him a break, since he came in what, 2017? We had 151.4 million people working. We now have 157.8, so that's 6.4, essentially over 3 years. In 2013, December 2013, now we're screwing them by a couple of months. In December 2013, the number was 143.9. December 2016, it's 151.4. So that's roughly 7.5. It's the same numbers. I mean, in fact, you know, I think he's averaging, you know, maybe 180,000 new jobs a month, 170 something. I didn't do the math. In the last 3 years of Obama's administration, it was like 5,000 more. I'm not giving huge kudos to Obama for that number or him. That's kind of where the population's growing. It's just okay. And a lot of it's in the lower ends. It is, Lou, I was just, obviously you managed to connect. How are you?
I did. I'm very good. Thank you. Sorry about the technical issues.
Nope, no problem. I just, I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version when I'm talking here. I listened to, Trump yesterday in probably two speeches. And Louis, starting to sound like Denny Crane in Boston Legal. A constant repeat of this huge slather of statistics and how fantastic a job he's doing, winging numbers out there. I checked the numbers. None of them are any good, Lou. I mean, is the guy losing it or what? I mean, I hope I'm totally goofy here this morning. But I mean, something's wrong. I mean, he must have talked about this employment number, how many millions of people have gotten jobs. It's the exact same number of the last 4 years of Obama administration. He's got 6 more million people working, and Obama's last 3 years, he hit 7.5. These are good numbers. They show the economy is certainly not going backwards, at least in that regard. A lot of the, you could certainly say it's the lower end of the group that's making money. I mean, you could dissect the numbers, but let's not do that. But I mean, this constant, we're kicking China's ass, where the economy's trillions of dollars more, you know, this is better, that's better, China's flat on its ass. But this is like a stump speech, Lou. I mean, he just goes off script and rattles into this 15 minutes of whatever. He reminds me of Denny Crane in Boston Legal, for God's sake.
Well, wait till Joe Biden gets elected president.
All right.
I think you're just, you know, you're seeing what the president does when he does go off script, and you know, this is his shtick, and it was his thing during the campaign. It got him elected. It's the same thing he's been doing. It's the same stuff he did when he was a real estate developer hawking his deals. It's the pitch of a businessman. It's not the pitch of a public policy major. And that's what you got.
Do people believe it?
And I think people believe what they want to believe. And if you don't, you know, I mean, Scott Adams talks about the fact that when we see life unfold in front of us, or events unfold in front of us, it's like we're watching a movie, and we project our prejudices, our concerns, our history onto what we see in that movie. And that affects the movie we see. So you have this, to use a current example, you have the transcript of this phone call with the Ukrainian president that, to the Democrats, screams, you know, high treason. To the Republicans, screams, this is the president talking the way he normally talks about a number of separate issues with this guy, but certainly not an impeachable offense. And you know, same thing. Now, the problem I've seen with the Ukrainian transcript is that people are reading out, the people on the other side from me, because I don't necessarily see it as impeachable. But you know, the people on the other side of that equation are leaving out big chunks of it when they report it in an effort to create the impression they want to create. But the truth of the matter is, the president speaks in a very sloppy, style, and he throws things out right and left. And the short answer to your question is yes, people believe it, because it confirms for them, the people that believe it, it confirms the movie that they want to watch. And so that's where we are. I don't think there's anything particularly, you know,
but on a personal level,
about it, because I think the guy's done this from the day one.
But on a personal level, I obviously, you know, when you're in my business, you got to be precise about your trades, or else you don't last very long. You can't just be off the cuff on winging numbers around, because everything's right down.
No.
I can do. But I spend a lot of time, and I have a lot of spectacular people that have become friends and stuff. And on this show, we try, and the people who write into me and so forth and try and help me out, point me places, we try, and for, I'll say, some rigorous attention to detail. And it's really hard when you got the president blowing off BS at an amazing rate that millions of people are believing without even looking it up. It's like I'm a salmon fishing against a whale or swimming against a whale or something. I mean,
that's his job, Chief. I mean, your job is to report information accurately. His job is to persuade, and that's what he's doing. This is salesmanship, or at least his version of it. And I mean, I'm appalled that we don't have more clarity here. But I mean, let's look at this from another perspective. You're the president of the United States. You've won the election. The mainstream press in this country not only came out and said before you were elected that they were going to actively campaign against you, that they were going to distort the news to make it look as bad as they possibly could. And you know that. So being the kind of person you are, you go into a full persuasion mode, and that's your presidency. I mean, I honestly think at some level a president relishes this kind of stuff.
Well, he does.
He loves having clearly identifiable enemies. I mean, this would be so much more difficult for him to attack the press and the Democratic Party the way they're acting if there was some modicum of balance and rationality in the way they're coming at him. But they're not. And so I throw my hands up at the level of this debate. This craziness with Ukraine, I still take a deep breath. I'm trying to come down one way or the other on this because I want to see what develops. But nobody else is doing that. And again, I think that makes it very easy for the president to demonize people. And so, again, he's not in a mode of I'm going to rationally convince you. I'm going to persuade you, and I'm going to persuade you at an emotional level, which, quite frankly, as you know, is much more effective.
Well, the things that we used to think were effective, you know, he's kind of blowing that out of the water. But I would say that most people we knew, and if you were president and I was still your buddy and I was president and you were still my buddy, which I think we would be, and probably be helping each other, you would be the one who would tell me, do not take the bait. Be above the stream, and the press will eventually get tired of it. Because you are, as much as you may hate it, you're their president too. You're not just president to the people who elected you. I mean, the thing that comes out of me on this deal, and I've been talking about it all week.
I would love to think that is the mindset of the people in Washington, but I don't believe it is anymore.
Probably isn't.
I believe the mindset is a winner take all.
And I don't disagree with that, and I think there's so much money involved, Lou. But I honestly think that the way to get the press to be nice to you is not to tell them they're the biggest bunch of idiots and they are the treason of the country, whatever God knows, really keeps calling the people on over daily.
I would tend to agree with you, but you know, I can point to Mitt Romney, who was infinitely more qualified than Barack Obama in 2012, who was the moderate, thoughtful, you know, intelligent, numbers driven guy. He was a public policy guru's dream in terms of his grasp of numbers and everything else. he was demonized as a racist, anti-gay, anti-woman. I mean, the most ridiculous things you could imagine were pinned on him by the president and his minions. And I mean, that's another reason we got Donald Trump, Chief.
Oh, I know.
Because a lot of people in the Republican Party said, "Hey, man, if you're going to do that to Mitt Romney, we're going to put up somebody now that doesn't care about the norms. We're going to put up a change agent." And that's what the president is.
I don't disagree. And I think one of the issues with Mitt Romney, and I know some people that had an awful lot of business dealings with Mormon people and have said, "I will never vote for one." And these are people that I know. Now, I've never lived in Utah. I don't know that culture very well. But I mean, there's an awful lot of people who have brushed up against it and said, "No way." Now, why they think that, if it's just another prejudice, you know, I don't know. And I think in some ways, some parts of the country feel that, you know, if somebody was qualified, if somebody was the right person, and, you know, it just doesn't matter whether they were young or not, but Barack Obama is the good-looking, good-talking, African-American guy, comes up, seems like he has done all the right stuff. He was in the Senate. He was a guy in the legislature in Illinois that had a reputation for reaching across the aisle. Wasn't in the Senate very long to do much of anything, so I don't know what reputation he got there. And he ended up, you know, he is the black young Jack Kennedy. And the day he got elected, and I voted for him the first time, the day he got elected on the show, I said, "You know what? There's a problem here. He has no business experience. If he doesn't surround himself with the right people, that's a problem. Plus, I refuse to believe that there's such a thing as a reformed candidate from Illinois." God, Lou, was I spot on or what?
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, would he grow into the job? The answer was he didn't. He surrounded himself with people that you know, only wanted to hire their own ilk. They didn't care about qualifications. He pissed everybody off. He did a lot of stuff. He became so far in the swamp so fast that I couldn't believe it. And, you know, I couldn't vote for him a second time. You know, so it played out just like I feared. It doesn't make me genius or anything. It just means it played out like I feared, being an Illinois citizen. And so you're right. And you, by the way, you know who you agree with is your buddy Newt Gingrich. He said people elected Obama because he was somewhat of an outsider. When that didn't work, they went way outside it. He goes, "It's the exact same phenomenon." And you know what he
means? The other thing, Chief, is that you know, Romney. Again, I liked Mitt Romney, and I've bumped up against a lot of the Mormon culture, and I can probably talk to you about Mormon theology and other issues as well as anybody you're going to have on the show anytime soon. But what Romney did not engage was the emotional, you know, need to vote for, or more importantly, vote against something. I see President Trump as the candidate of people who are voting against something.
Hey, Lou, we have some tweets saying you are mistaken. It must be you, Maddie.
I was just saying we've been getting a lot of tweets from a few different folks saying, "By the way, guys, it's not a transcript. It's his memo of the call. So don't call it a transcript."
The transcript's not quite out yet, right, Lou?
I thought they declassified the transcript.
Yeah, I don't think it's out yet. What we got were the notes.
There was an excerpt. Maybe it is. Maybe it is the memo. I'm sorry. I've been following this at a distance. So I've just been following what the storylines are. But the transcript. My understanding is the transcript was released last night.
But I think it was. Yeah, I think it was, because, matter of fact, we had a little debate here in the office that these guys on TV were talking about. There was one reference to, Biden's kid. And then the Tribune sent me something just as I was walking out the door. It must have been like 4:30 or 5, saying there were multiple references of Biden's kid. So there were, one must have been the transcript and one must have been the notes. So I have not read the transcript yet.
There's a story. Well, there are significant. There's a significant amount of excising going on, but regardless, let me go back to the point I wanted to make. which is that thing, as I said, that thing is being read. There's no clear quid pro quo apparently in the memo. There's no clear quid pro quo. There's the whistleblower complaint. I think is another example of the what I would refer to as the deep state, or what's being referred to as the deep state, trying to damage the president. But let me go back to the point I wanted to make earlier, which is engaging at an emotional level. Romney did not engage at an emotional level.
No.
The president engages at an emotional level, and what's fascinating to me, Chief, is that he's forcing those Democratic candidates to engage, to try to engage him at an emotional level, and I think they're doing a terrible job. I think he has his genius is exposing the fundamental biases of you know other people as he exposes them.
But
own.
you don't ever make yourself.
I mean,
my uncle used to tell me,
just watch the vituperativeness.
I know, you don't.
That comes out of the presidential field, directed at being certain individuals or certain things, and you're going, come on, man, you don't have to say this, but they think that they do because the president is apparently causing it to happen.
I don't disagree, but the question is, you can have a fight. I mean, you can have people in the Shakespearean theater used to have to do this, Lou, because you had your rich people were up in the balconies, right? And then you had what they used to call the groundlings were down in the pit. In virtually every, it's like a hockey game. There has to be a lot of good hockey for the people who care about hockey, and there has to be a fight for the 12-year-old kids and the other lunatics in the place, right? I mean, that's hockey's, you know, the Hawks never went down to that lately, but other teams do. In the Shakespearean theater, you have to have the highbrow play, and somewhere along the line, you got to have some guy whacking his wife on the behind or something for the groundlings, right? But Trump lives with the groundlings. I honestly believe that. But I think somebody has to put a stop to that. You can't let it be down in the hole with you. If you're on the stage with a guy in a debate, you have to say, Mr. President, you want to go there? Go there. I'm not going there. Go ahead, knock yourself out. But I mean, there's certain people that like that stuff, Lou. But it's not. I don't think that what I've seen in this Ukraine thing. I don't know where the hell they pull this one out for being an impeachment. But there's no doubt in my mind that every time the Congress gives $50 to the Lou Michaels Trust, he thinks it's his $50. He'll call you up and tries to extract something for him to actually give you the check. I don't think that's
absolutely
proper. I don't think that's proper. I never did, and
well,
I don't like him for it. You know, I just
and Chief, I mean, apparently, I'm trying not to draw conclusions on this because I so far what I've seen doesn't convince me that there was something impeachable going on. But we know, for example, that the Democrats last year wrote a letter to the head of Ukraine asking for help in investigating the president.
Well, he's known to have businesses all over the place.
So is that not a quid pro quo as well?
Well, I don't disagree. Yet we had what's his name, his chief of staff, just got convicted for doing stuff in the Ukraine. I mean, they're all these people. I wrote out a thing yesterday to some people. I said, you know what? Trump's kid is not a sympathetic figure. His son-in-law's not. He's not. Neither is Biden's kid. I don't think if the Democrats think Joe Biden's kid's a sympathetic creature, they're as dumb as he is. Well, he's not dumb.
Let's run this out now.
S&P, wait a second. We got to do it after the break. S&P Futures up 550. Dow Futures up 60. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com, that's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell, Mr. Bill Weber on the ward. We have Mr. Light Mill Michaels with us, as we do every Thursday morning. S&P Futures up 6. NASDAQ Futures up 975. Investors are betting on a Clinton-like rally if Trump gets impeached. Wow. That was a long time ago. I don't think most investors even remember that. Couldn't tell you whether the market went up or down, but I think we can have headlines all over the damn place, I guess. Dow futures up 60 over in Europe. We've got the DAX up 54, and they were down a whole percent yesterday. They made it back 0.4% today. FTSE up 73. It is a full percent. CAC around up 39.7. In Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 28.1%. Shanghai down 26. That's 0.9%. Hang Seng up 96.4%. So not much going on over there. Bonds 1.71 was the third 10-year rate. The Bund minus 0.58. So that's come up a little bit. It's hard, Lou, to talk about these things being up when they're still negative, but I've got to get my hands around that one of these days. Japan down negative 0.24, which is actually up a little bit as well. Oil down 5 cents, nothing going on there. Brent down 8 cents. Natural gas up 2 cents. RBOB 162. We've got gold up 230. That's 1514. Silver down 8 cents. 1798. A little under 18. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have a couple of issues to report, but not so on the Edens or Kennedy. Looking pretty good in both directions right now as we get started here on a Thursday morning. Same could be said for the Eisenhower and the Stevenson. Southside expressways are looking good, too. The issues to report, Tri-State Tollway on the northbound side at North Avenue. There's a crash that's been moved to the left shoulder. This is affecting the westbound I-290 exit ramp. So expect delays as they work to get that completely cleared. Just south of there, off the Tri-State, we have a crash, LaGrange Road and Mannheim Road, right off the Tri-State Tollway in the southwestern suburbs, and that's causing some issues. And then in the city, on Lakeshore Drive, northbound, just before Roosevelt Road, on the south side, there's a crash blocking the right lane. Marquette to Jackson is up to 21 minutes, so expect some congestion on Lakeshore Drive heading in from the south side. Everything else looking good out there. Weather today, a beautiful day. We cool off a bit, but lots of sunshine, a high of 71. Right now it's crystal clear and 60 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 85 today. Right now it's overcast and 75. In sports, Cubs are officially eliminated from playoff contention. They dropped their eighth straight game last night, losing in Pittsburgh 4-2. White Sox beat up on the Indians 8-3. Diamondbacks topped the Cardinals 9-7. And Thursday night football tonight, it's a good one, Chief. It's the Philadelphia Eagles really needing a win. They're 1-2, had a lot of injuries.
They need a bye, not a Thursday night game.
I know. They travel to Green Bay, and they'll take on the Packers tonight. Chief.
Can I shift just a second?
Let me come back and just finish up my thought on one discussion line we were having about the kids and, you know, involved in this. What I think is going to erupt out of this is, again, the incredible desire for a change candidate, either a continuation of the president or somebody else, because what you're seeing, give the president credit for this, although I'm pretty sure he didn't necessarily know this was going to happen. He basically has taken the curtain down and forced the curtain down onto the incredible amount of mendacity and corruption and wheeling and dealing and insider trading and everything else that goes on within the elite, the bureaucrats, the connections between bureaucrats, or major stream press and political entities on both sides. And it's fascinating to watch this stuff get boiled out. But, you know, as an average citizen who follows this stuff, I'm as offended by Hunter Biden being involved in international deals on the part of the United States as anything that the president's children have been involved in. But to see that coming out like this and to realize the incredible level of partisanship and patronage and everything else that is being attached to our elected officials and being promoted by our elected officials with the help of the deep state bureaucracy.
Why do you think that's
fascinating and horrifying?
I'm going to give a couple of quick things here. When I first went out to the, when I was on the SIBO board, we went out and met some of the people in the CFTC board and the people on the, well, one poor guy just died. I was not a fan of his, but I sure as hell didn't want him dead. He was the biggest, antagonist against payment for order flow, and then as soon as he went to another firm, it was okay. But every one of these guys, they were, Tom Daschle, like two or three of them were Tom Daschle's clerks, because he must have been head of the Agriculture Committee or something. And if you were his clerk, you got on the CFTC. And there was, the SEC was, someone was a Republican. So it's equal opportunity BS. But Daschle obviously was a Democrat. And so if you clerked for those two people, it was like you got to be SEC chairman, or not chairman, on a board. I mean, but I don't know why the rest of the world maybe doesn't get it. We had some people in here from China, okay, and they spent 2 weeks at our place. They were part of the agricultural group in China. There were some people loosely associated with PTI that did some spot, meaning they actually sold soybeans and grains to China. Lou, they'd say, well, if you want to sell grains, you got to talk to, like, this guy. and he's the 26-year-old bleep of this bureaucrat driving his Mercedes at age 26. And if you're going to sell a load of soybeans, you got to go through this guy, and he gets his cut. And I thought, this. I can't even be in a room with these people. I need a shower. We will do none of this business. And the guys that were involved in that were loosely associated with us are not anymore. Yet somehow or another, I know, and I think you know, that whenever the president, going back to Nixon's time, takes a flight to China, there's 100 swinging bleep businessmen on the plane with him, along with the press, and they're first guys off the plane. And guess what? If you're going to buy a computer, you're probably going to buy it from the guy on the plane, because you and I can't get in the same room. And because this exactly. favoritism is all over the place. Now, these guys have taken it to a new level, and I think Trump's people have taken this insider trading to an incredibly new level, but I think it was always there. I mean, why is Goldman Sachs right all the time? Well, they're not that smart. They're right because they cheat and always have. I mean, they know what the Fed's buying, so they buy it ahead of them. Duh. I mean, and the enforcement is, if you're down the chain, you get spanked. If you're up the chain, you don't. I've seen this in this business forever, but I don't like it. I mean, I never liked it. Now we have a president that is doing business in all these companies, in all these countries. Who knows what he's exacting from Putin for the Moscow hotel or this and that, and people staying here. We've never had, other than J. Edgar Hoover. You know what I'm saying? It's crooked all over the place.
I agree with you, but as the scab comes off, or as the curtain is lifted on whatever business connections this president has, we suddenly find that the guys on the other side are just as bad.
Well, sure, whatever possessed anybody to think they weren't.
I find so remarkable.
Why? Tom Daschle's clerk, Democrat, his clerks were all on the CFTC, the other guy's clerks, Republican, they're all on the SEC. This has been going on forever. Why do you think people go there? I had this discussion the other night with a few people, and I won't say it was in a bar, Lou. They're talking about, why would Scaramucci ever take that job for when he's making all his money on Wall Street, allegedly, and owns a couple of clubs and does this? I said, are you kidding me? To be considered the economic advisor or whatever he was, is one of the economic advisors of a president, you don't think that's worth something to you next time you go out and try and manage somebody's $1 billion for him? For God's sake, don't you get it? What do you mean? That job can't pay that much? It has nothing to do with what the job pays you, moron. It has to do with that kind of exposure, that kind of legitimacy that somebody gives to you. I mean, right?
Yeah. And so to draw this back to what we were talking about earlier, we end up with an electorate that looks around and says, yeah, I'm not going to hold the president. I'm not going to hold President Trump to a standard that apparently doesn't exist for the other side. You have, and let me put it as baldly as I can. You've got, a vice president whose kid is with a company about to be investigated by an attorney general. Just bald-faced doing a Tony Soprano on the president of the Ukraine. At the same time, this kid is getting, a $500,000 or $600,000 a year stipend from this company to, quote, represent them, when he has absolutely no qualification to do so. He's been tossed out of the Navy for a positive drug test. He's had, all kinds of behavioral issues. But
Lou, what do you suppose?
The VP's putting him up there.
Lou, what do you suppose?
But you look at this, if you're a voter, you look at this and go, yeah, you know what? I'm going to vote for the guy who's causing all this chaos, who's disrupting this and dragging all this out in the open, and I really don't care too much about his character.
All right, well, Lou, we have a president who just had his main assistant essentially go to jail for dragging money out of Ukraine. Now we got the guy running against him, whose kid's dragging money out. What do you suppose, if we lined up the top 40 carpetbaggers from this country that have managed to steal money out of the chaos that is the Ukraine, who do you think that list would read like? It must be like after the Civil War, when guys went down and stole from the... How many of these people, these international/thieves, promoters, whatever you want to call them, how many of them are out there? And are they all connected? I mean, what is? Can we get them all in a room and like gas the room? I don't want to say that. But can we get them on a ship and send them halfway across? What do we do with these people? But I mean, it's not about, you know, Trump's kid being that way. It's not about the other guys being that way. We must have hundreds of these people out there. What are they all doing? Who are they all scamming from? How big is that world? I guess is my question.
Not only do we have a significant number of people that are in these positions, we apparently have tens of thousands of people who want to be in those positions.
Well, God, yeah.
And who are compromising, you know, right and left. I mean, this is that. This again, when the president or President Obama or Hillary Clinton, you know, makes comments about, you know, the deplorables and you know, the bitter, you know, the bitter clingers, or whatever the term that President Obama used was, when they make these kinds of comments, this just reinforces in the minds of a significant percentage of the populace that this leadership caste does not really care about them very much, and this gets reinforced, by the way, in some of the things that the candidates are saying. But you couple the belief that the people that are in charge or that are on one side of the aisle not only don't care about you, but it's, in many cases are actively hostile to you.
Well, what makes the quote deplorables? How dumb can they be to think Trump cares about them?
But the thing is that this is my point. They know that the people who are making these comments, the Democratic candidates making these comments, they know they're opposed to them. They know they don't like them. They know they're actively hostile to their beliefs, and they also know they're part of this leadership caste.
Does anybody think that Jared Kushner?
This is the reason the evangelicals. You know, I mean, Trump has a huge amount of support among evangelicals, and I couldn't explain it when I first saw that number.
The reason why he has support, Lou, I'm going to be blunt this morning for some reason. He hates the people they hate, but somewhere along the line, and this is kind of what I'm trying to get to is. I have some incredible listeners and people that, like I say, help. We need my people, your people that we care about, people that we need to somehow back up and say, we can't have the whole neighborhood betting and fighting over the rooster fights in the corner, the cock fights. We're better than that. We don't need 95,000 tweets, emails going back and forth on who's a bigger sleazebag. Trump or Biden's kid.
The fact is, somehow we
need somebody that says we're not going to do that anymore. Instead of going to the cockfight, we're gonna clean the neighborhood up. We're gonna fix the school up. It's a better use of our time. And I don't see that coming. But that has to happen. And who can do that?
Well, let's. I mean, my perspective on this is that when you get to this level of disenchantment and these feelings of disenfranchisement, this is when you're ripe for some kind of a demagogue. Now, I don't know if the president falls into that category right now. I don't really think he does, but because I think
he's not devious enough and he's not smart enough.
I think for him, all of this is personal.
And yeah, I don't think he's devious enough. I don't think he's that way. It's mostly for him. I think it's personal, and I think he's not devious enough. And I don't honestly think, in the end of the day, you know, he wants to kill people like other dictators have. I have no thought that he does, none whatsoever. I mean, I don't think he's that way. So I mean, it's not like he has this, you know. So, but I mean, who's to say the next person up won't be different? I mean, won't be
well. There are a number of causes for this, and I think. I would start with the incredibly poor civics education and basic education that a lot of the populace has now, with respect to how the government's supposed to work and how things are supposed to happen. But I think that's part of it. I think part of it is, again, the sort of review, if you will, of what actually happens, you know, how sausage gets made, how legislation gets passed. The wheeling, the dealing, and the fact that this is being done at a level that is well removed from the average voter, and that the people doing it are benefiting themselves first rather than their constituents or the entities that are responsible for them, the federal agencies that are responsible for their employment.
I'm gonna do something I always do, Lou, and I know everybody has their shtick. And how's that for a Southside term? I mean, and you're always going to look to the highbrow sort of thing. And I'm gonna always look at, maybe not should, but I'm gonna look at the economic end of it. And I think the reason why the people that, you know, people call the deplorables, which I would never call an individual a deplorable. I mean, people can look to only look at the bad things in life and go that way. It makes you maybe a deplorable on that subject, but not a deplorable in total. But I think what's happening, Lou, is everybody, unless you are the 1% that's on TV and doesn't understand why somebody making $10 an hour isn't happy because he's got a job, that person has such a disconnect with people that I don't even, you know, I don't care, male, female, black, white, whatever it is. You have such a disconnect with what's going on. I'm going to say in the last 25 years, the incredible amount of money that is only going to a few people, and they keep telling you that. And you know what, Lou? They're not even Edison. If they were Edison and they invented something, nobody'd care. But they're not. They're just people that lay off other people, take advantage of the fact that people have jobs have been outsourced, and actually think it's fine that they make 20,000 times more than a person in a factory when a number used to be 10 times. Here's the number on the page of the U.S. debtclock.org. There's a bazillion numbers on this page, most of them bad. That and everything. But here's the two you got to put in your mind. Well, you don't have to, but I think you would like to. Median income, which is, you know, obviously what the median income. I'll give you the definition, all right? Just so we're clear. What did I do? I lost my page. My spot. Median income, $33,369, okay? Not a whole hell of a lot of money, is it, in today's world? All right. 50% of American wage earners had net compensation less than or equal to the median wage. Guess what it was in 2000?
I wouldn't know.
$30,831. It's up $2,500 in 19 years. It's up 10%. So do you think that the level of aggravation on people who would follow any kind of demagogue, whatever they happen to be, whether it's Elizabeth Warren, let's find the people that are rich and just take the money from them, which is an ignorant idea, or Trump, you know, I don't know what his exactly thing is economically, but part of it was the regulation he was getting rid of, and that made sense. But I mean, these numbers are unconscionable. They are unconscionable, and the fact is, 70% of the people have not participated at all, even in the wealth that has grown since 2000. And maybe the number is 80 or 85%. And no matter what you do, it all comes down to that. The people that are in debt to their eyeballs and their credit cards, when they go on, you know what if you are an insured person at a company, say PTI, guess what yesterday was, Lou, in terms of bad days? If I'm gonna buy Lou Michaels and his family insurance from PTI, you know, with a little bit of disability and blah blah blah, maybe not even a little bit of disability, but if I'm gonna buy you the normal insurance package, what number did that just top yesterday for the year?
I don't know.
$20,000 per person or per family, and I'm gonna guess that your deductible is bigger, your share is probably bigger. Well, the share is probably included in the $20,000, but your deductible is bigger. You as a family, if anybody ever gets hurt, ever gets sick, you can never come out of that, ever. And yet, Trump went in, and the thing that I sympathize with the man, he went in to spank Boeing, and he went in to spank the big drug companies, the pharmaceutical companies. He gave up after a year. So our horse, in the sense that he didn't care about the people. He was not afraid to take these people on. Everybody that I've wanted taken on, he's basically backed off from, and now he's in this, you know, this pissing match, which doesn't help anybody. I mean, I disagree with the Democrats doing this. I think this is exactly what we don't need for the next 5 months. It's another reason for Congress to not do what they're supposed to be doing. But this is unconscionable what how the average citizen is being treated in this country, Luke. Now, whether they turn out to be some raving Democrat or raving Republican, it almost doesn't matter. Because if you sit them down in the room and got people together and said, shut up for a second, have a shot of tequila or whatever you want to take a shot of, is this what you're pissed off about? Yeah. Is this what you're pissed off about? Yeah. Can we at least agree on that to start? I think there's all kinds of common ground, Lou, because they're all pissed off at the same thing. They're just looking at, they're pointing fingers at different people.
Look at John Tass's column that just, I think, is coming out today in the Chicago Tribune. I'm sure Maddie can link to it. You can find it on Twitter. But it talks about the fact that the reason that Cass thinks the president's July 25th phone call crossed the line, but he then says, okay, but let's look at what was going on in the background. And in the background, you've got the Hunter Biden transaction, and you've also got the letter from the Democratic Senate leadership saying that the Ukrainians need to cooperate with Robert Mueller to a greater extent. And there's an implied threat there, or else, you know, the good relationship we have with you will disappear. I think the president looks at this stuff. I think the average voter looks at this stuff and says, yeah, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in trying to pick sides here. A pox on all your houses. I'm going to vote for the bomb throwing lunatic. And that was the president. You know, and he was not the Republican, the quote Republican unquote candidate in the primaries. He was an outsider. He was a bomb thrower, and the Republican Party recognized, Republican voters recognized that this group that we've talked about that just says, look, we're tired of dealing with this power elite. We want somebody from outside who's going to come in and shake things up. That's what got voted in.
The Republicans never wanted that. He's been resisted by his own party to turn on that curtain. You think Mitch McConnell wants him to go after pharmaceuticals when he's probably got his pockets stuffed from them for 30 years?
No, I think that's exactly correct. But that's what got voted in. And if we don't get some rationality in our national politics, we're going to have another
one. Lou, we got to dash here pretty soon, but I'm going to read you the next two numbers on this page. We did median income, 2019, 33.3, 2000, 30,000. Median new home now, guess how much?
200,000.
315. Median new home, 2000, 166. Average new car now, 37. Average new car, 2000, 22. How are we doing?
Sounds like we got inflation.
No, we don't. We got no inflation. Ask anybody. Ask any of the morons in Washington whether we have inflation. They'll tell you no.
You know, I haven't shopped for a car in almost 20 years. The average price of a new car is $37,000.
This is even more so. I have a question for you, an economic question, which you don't like to answer. The average price, I believe, I'm going to say the median price is the average. This average is a little high. The number that I zero in on and all the stuff I've read, isn't it like 31.9, Maddie, or 32.5, something like that? I think it's like 31.9. Guess what the average loan is, Lou?
It's close to the whole way.
It's like 29.9. It's close to the whole way.
Oh.
So no, if you buy a car for 31.5 and you borrow, say, 30, did you even buy it? Really?
Yeah.
You think you did? I mean, these numbers are, you look at the stuff, these are horrible. You can't make them up. They're so bad, right? I mean,
yeah. You would think somebody would be making hay on this, but in a way they are, Chief.
Yeah,
I mean, this is what we're going to look for somebody. We're going to look for somebody who's not paying off his relatives. We're going to look for somebody who's not taking money under the table. We're going to look for somebody who's not looking for that next business connection or next job when they get out of office. Lead the federal bureaucracy.
Somebody has to be able to tie the aggravation of the people on the left and right together, and I think it's fairly easily done because it's coming from the same place. Both sides are getting screwed.
That was President Trump. I mean, he pulled in I mean, he pulled in a lot of Obama voters, Chief, when he won in 2016.
I think what a lot of the Obama voters fled Hillary, more so than the other. But, I mean, there's a lot of reasons there. Because the amount of people who voted was way down.
But I mean, and again, the genius of the president is he's dragging everybody down to his.
I'm not so sure that's a genius we want. I'm not so sure that would be considered genius in a history book.
Well, in terms of persuasiveness.
Yeah, well, I agree.
It makes it a lot easier.
All right, bud. We'll talk at you next week. Have a nice week. SP Futures down, up 675. Come back by Mr. Fari Hamzy.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters, the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Welcome up, thanks, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe, Mr. Mel Weber aboard. We have Mr. Fari Hamzy with us, Hamzy Analytics. SP Futures up 650, NASDAQ Futures up 975.
Good morning, Tommy, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, except that Lou got me to look at my national debt clock.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, he got me to look at the national debt clock.org, which always aggravates the hell out of me.
I was just posting the interview on social media, so more people get a chance to hear your beautiful voice.
I was kind of ranting there. Maybe they don't want to hear me.
Well, you know, that you're not the only one.
Maddie, was I down the plank a little bit or what?
Sometimes, remember, they got to call us grumpy. So.
Maddie, was I down on the plank?
I would say a little bit, but one of Chief's favorite things to do is to ask people questions where he has the answer in front of him over and over and over again. Got to stop doing that.
It's because they're so astounding I would never know myself unless I was looking at it.
I know, but you're looking at the answer and you ask Lou.
Well, I'm not trying to.
He's like, I don't know, Chief. He asked like five times in a row.
That is probably a him. But I mean, these would be stunning to me. I wouldn't even, they're not even close to what you hear on national TV or radio on either side.
That's true. That's definitely.
It's IQ. It's a bunch of IQ, my friend.
The whole
IQ.
By the way, before you guys get into it and talk some markets, which I know you want to do, among other things, the whole both sides-ism, well, what about this or what about this on this side? Well, can we just agree that it sucks on both sides? Why do we have
That was my message, wasn't
and
it? It didn't come out that way.
I think that is your message, and it just drives me nuts. It's like, well, what about Biden? Well, what about the Clintons? Well, what about Trump? Well, what about, you know, Trump's kids? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's all bad.
It's all bad.
Exactly.
Can we just, can we get away
from
that?
And also, one wrong doesn't make another wrong correct.
Exactly. Like, I don't care about the other ones.
The people who bring that up, in my opinion, Maddie, their back is against the wall.
Yeah.
They run out of other options to say. When I see here, like, Trumpkins, they raise their voice, I say, hold it. What happened to your logic? Why do you need to raise your voice? If your logic is a sharp knife, you don't need to raise your voice. It must be a dull knife now.
But I will, the only thing I will push back a hair, Maddie, by the way, you summarized what I was ranting about very well, probably better than me. But you're better at this than I am. That's why you've been in radio. I just rant away and hope that people get the message. but I think what you probably also need to think is the reason why these people are doing this. The money involved is dramatic. It's not like, I mean, you go to work every day, you got two jobs. You come here and help me out, and then you go have a real job, and you know you're doing other stuff on the side. I mean, you're working your ass off, and I'm going to say, if you have a good year, I'm going to say if you had $1.25, $1.50 this year and on everything, you'd be a happy clam. You know, maybe certainly $200, you'd be real happy. Do you have any idea how much these people, if you can steal some of this money out of Ukraine and promote one of these contracts, that's a day's work.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, we're not even on the same playing field. I mean, you cannot get, that's why the rest of the world is sitting here making $33,000 a year. You can't do that now with a regular job. It's hard to have a regular company. They want a personal guarantee and any kind of a loan from a bank for some idiot came up with. It's hard to find money. Your money's 10% when somebody else is getting it at 2%. Why do you think if you could sit there and go, hey man, how about taking a trip over to Ukraine, talking to some guys? You're a personable kid, way better than I am. I mean, instead of sitting there and arguing with somebody, you'll actually just get the job done. I wouldn't. You're going to sit down with the son of the mope that runs Ukraine, and you're going to say, hey, yeah, my company does this, and by the way, I'll cut you in for a little, and I'll have a little, and what do you think? It's our $500 million we're giving you anyway. All you're doing is spending $40 million back instead of $39.5. Who cares? We'll make sure it's all taken care of for you, and everybody happy. It's called Greece. You go to Mexico, for God's sake, and I'm not, you know, disparaging anybody. If you introduce somebody at a bar, and you do business with the guy 20 years from now, the guy wants his piece. But am I right, Fari? I mean, wet your beak. So, I mean, there's people doing this stuff. Why do you think Manafort was there? Why do you think, you're much more capable of this than me. You look better, you talk better, but, I mean, these guys, they're not looking for a day's pay. They're not looking for, like, you and me to sit there and manage money for some people
and
hopefully have a good year.
It's an asset arbitrage, whatever that asset is.
They're the ones that are going to be looking at the new Maseratis, not you and me. It's a whole different world. It's all other people's dough, and you're in the middle of this back and forth. It's why the son of the Chinese guy wants a piece of every soybean load that gets there. You think that guy's working all day? Hell no. Or he'll call it work. Phone calls with a bunch of people that have to go through him.
I had one of my mentors at Northrop was the CFO. I happened to run into him. He liked what I was doing and so forth. One day he turned around to me, and then later on, he was a consultant for me on a venture capital deal we were doing. And I didn't know anything about accounting. I was an engineer. But this guy was his name is Jim Wilson. He wrote a book called Controllership. If you're involved in any financial MBA stuff, I'm sure, Tommy, you probably had it at booth. You know, at U of Chicago. You've gone through that. It's called controllership. Very smart guy. You know, so as I'm going through this stuff, and I said, Mr. Wilson, this is a little company here. You run Northrop Finance. What's the difference? He goes, nothing. More zeros.
Yeah.
That's all it is. You think we have problems?
Those, you know, Kushner has problems too, except his problems are more zeros.
Well, they're
relative.
Yeah, well, their problems are also, they gotta act like everything is perfect, even if it isn't.
Well, that's the front. And the ones who win that game are the good actors.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, that does not, this is the point I was trying to make the other time. This does not preclude our leaders either. Notice some of the guys that we've fallen for are the best actors out there.
But Manny, take it through. I mean, since you have opined here this morning, thank you, by the way, for that. If we give, it's not just U.S. votes $1 billion to Guatemala. There's $1 billion in play. Where is there $1 billion that walks through PTI or TrustWave
yeah.
in play?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, there's $1 billion like in play, and even if I get like a 1% commission walking away with like 10 mil, that's a payday. I mean, if I can steer somebody to the right place, I mean, the guys in Guatemala got to go buy, you know, bottled water. Well, I just happen to know a bottled water guy. I mean, this, you know, how much of that billion do you think actually lands in the lips of the people in Guatemala? If it's 40%, I'd be stunned. Do you think what do you think the actual number is? How many people in the war in poverty? What do you think? How much of it you think it made to the people in poverty?
Yeah.
There's money in play, and the only people who have it now are the governments, even though they're borrowing it. I mean, right, Farrier or not? I mean,
the motion of that money, when you say in play, is impacting a lot of pockets. It doesn't have to be the one it was intended for.
We're not talking about go down to the Sam's Club in Washington, buy, you know, a million cases of bottled water, load them on a ship, and send them down there and unload them with nobody in the middle. That's not what's happening.
No, never.
I mean, it would sound simple, but it's not.
Effect, it's how many, you're feeding a lot of mouth along the way, whatever you do.
Yeah.
You don't think it's happening in the military?
Defense
dollars have like a 6-to-1 multiplier effect. You know, they have people have, like, look at LA. Look at LA would die if it wasn't a defense money and entertainment. These two are crucial industries. I witnessed it for 28 years. You got the mortgages, you got the cars, you got the schools, you got the weddings. I mean, it just goes on. The food just continually turns around because you got to feed these two big groups, the defense industry and multiplier, and the entertainment. Because laundries, you know, you name it, dry cleaning, it just goes on and on and on. That's a multiplier effect. So when they make a decision, it's an aggregate. They think about all that effect that comes in.
Or
when they pull the money, that economy collapses.
Farrier, we've got, we're zeroing in, well, just because they happen to be Ukraine, we've got the president's boy Manafort going to jail for grabbing money out of there. Now we got, what's his name, Biden's kid seemingly in the headlights.
Exactly know what he did?
Well, he did some kind of a deal and got dough, evidently, right, Matty? Isn't that the story?
What do you mean by where's the corruption? He got paid?
Well, he used the fact that his dad was a vice president to get himself. I mean, it's not like Fari Hamzy could have knocked on the door and not got your nose broken when they slammed it on you. They wouldn't let me in.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I knew he was. He ran some private equity.
Yeah, you always got to have a front.
Stepson. Well, and they broke off of that. I'm trying to think facts. I'm not trying to take sides. You know, I don't care for that.
Well, my question to you is
side either. It's very sketchy. That's all.
I don't know. But my question to you is: how many more people like them are somewhere between here and the Ukraine scamming on just one country? And there's 100 countries like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It goes on and on and on. Yeah. That's why if you go to Washington, you have only one industry, lobbyists.
Yeah.
And mainly the lawyers. Because they've turned, it's much easier. Listen, if you want to advocate or pursue a Senate guy or a White House, or you want to be a regular lawyer and be an ambulance chaser, which one pays better? Look at Podesta and those guys. This is what they do. That's the industry down there. You know, in 2008, that was one city that the real estate prices didn't drop.
Well, I think what's happening, Farrier, from the economic standpoint, if you just say, follow the numbers, Chief Farrier Matty, back in the day, well, when people felt they were making a living wage, okay, there was always going to be corruption. Human beings have not changed since people were walking around with clubs, right? Or stones. And I think what's happening, honestly, and Matt, you can write this one down, is it used to be people made X, and when there was a contract, there was always a sleazebag there, or a promoter, I'll use the term promoter. Mm-hmm. There was always, quote, a grease. There's a little something to make the thing go. There's a guy that found it, a guy that found it, a guy. And I think what's happening, that the price of one versus the other used to be at a number where people could deal with it. In other words, if you're making $50,000 a year and the alderman's charging $5 to fix a parking ticket, who cares, right? Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, you're making $30,000 a year and the alderman wants $500 to pick the park. I think what's happening is this, the stealing from the guys like Biden and Kushner and you know, whatever. I'm saying Kushner's a crook. The cost of the grease is getting way too high for the people, what they're making. Those guys have overpriced themselves, and that's what's pissing people off, to be honest with you. I don't think anybody ever dreamed that Matt Weber could all of a sudden get off the plane in Ukraine and be a promoter unless he spent years doing it and got to know the people and whatever. But if Joe Biden made $20,000 for the thing, I don't think anybody'd care. If he made $2 million, I think people care. Because there's a lot of people in this country that are struggling to come up with that $2 million that he just got. But do you think I'm totally wrong here or not? I think the prices are
skewed. That's the toughest. They always said that.
But Matty, could I be right? The prices are just wrong.
Yeah, I think so.
Because nobody ever assumes that you're going to do business with a foreign entity. I mean, you know, my uncle goes down to, they actually had a printing press down in Mexico, right? So he's fixing this printing press, and he was a policeman. He was a great driver. He goes, I get in this Mexican traffic. I couldn't even move. He says, so I move forward, and I bump this policeman, and down he goes. He goes, holy bleep. You know, what did I just do? I just ran over a cop. My uncle had this terrific personality. He's a huge man. He gets out. He picks the guy up. He's dusting him off. He goes, are you okay? Are you okay? He pulls out $5. He goes, the guy starts dusting me off. You know, this is 40 years ago. He goes, it was like, I'm sorry, sir. I got in your way. But the point is, it's a little bit of grease somewhere. But it's not like he had to give the guy, you know, $40,000. The guy, what I'm saying is, there's a price to all of this. And I think what people are finding is, I don't want to give $500 million to Ukraine if Manafort and Joe Biden are taking $100 million of it. If they're taking, you know, $1 million of it to make it all happen, I guess I can roll with that in total. I think it's getting out of hand, I think, compared to what other people are making. Am I totally wrong, Farley?
It is if you just give them hardware, you know, or help in terms of, like, facilities, whatever. No cash. You actually deliver. There's so many hands in there, too. They'll turn it around. You see it in a lot of countries.
Well, you got to have a consultant to let people, you know.
No, I think it's safe.
I mean, if the Turkish people now start buying Russian fighter jets, if it was you who told me this, or was it Lou? All of a sudden, there's a massive software system that goes. Who gets the consulting jobs to go over there and sit and teach these guys how to work the damn thing? You're not talking about turning the thing on with a key and having a rudder and stick like in the old days. I mean, those things are all software, right?
Robert writes in on Twitter, this is part of the problem, guys. For the last hour, Lou referenced Biden's son, but nobody can say what actually happened.
Well, and nobody ever will, because it's in this ether.
That's what I'm asking.
It's in this ether.
That's what I'm trying to read and understand as Google. I'm not getting it. I'm not saying they're beyond it. I'm not saying Biden is clean or his son is clean. We don't know. But what are the facts?
What exactly did Manafort do over there? He's in jail. We still don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, what about Flynn?
Mother.
I mean, what did Flynn do? He's a general, and he's on the payroll here. He's getting his pension. What did he do for Russia?
Or Turkey.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, Matty. I mean, how do you ever know whatever these guys did other than make money?
Yeah.
That they did.
Part of the problem is we don't take care of them when they're in the service. It's a revolving door. When they come out, it's a money grab. I mean, think about F-14 pilots. They come out. First thing they got to go through is go airlines or go to the defense industry and use their contacts. Is that kosher? Airlines I don't have a problem with. But military industrial complex, yes, I do. Because that Rolodex of theirs is buddy-buddy, chummy-chummy, clubby. Listen, I'm part of the Northeast. I was raised that way. I understand this establishment. I'm pro-establishment. But I want meritocracy. I don't want some hardware to get signed off as okay, and then we lose airport pilots like we did on F-14As with a bad engine from Pratt Whitney, because the second stage turbines had a bad alliage, had a wrong mix of metal, right? We never found out until we lost about 28, 30 pilots. You know how much it cost to get an F-14 pilot? To the F-14 from the beginning? All right? So why was it? Who knows what went wrong, but maybe somebody's looked the other way. Every year you see these things. Was in the defense, I'm saying this because it's the one I can relate to. In the defense industry, you remember the Boeing contract for tankers. Somebody in there knows somebody else, and they use that
right.
Thing. I think we should have a restriction on people going back, period. Look what's happening in the Hill. Half of these guys all the guys who quit, like the senators who say, hey, I'm not sure we'll have a chance, all that. A couple of years, they get quiet period they have, whatever the quiet period is over, back as lobbyists. Why? They make millions.
Well, they
come back as millions. Why do you think Manafort toiled away along with Roger Stone and Lee Atwater in their early days? Why? For harvest time. When was the harvest time?
Yeah,
when you got 45 million tax-free until they caught him.
Yeah, you get your access. And one of the guys talking about going back before your time, Fari. Was there before Fari? God, before Fari was... Never mind. We won't go into Fari's age.
I've been there always. Remember, remember Patton?
Yeah.
When he said, the war was over here 3,000 years ago, and I was there.
Yep, I was there.
Exactly.
One of the gentlemen from Pullman, mm-hmm. who was one of the smartest men I ever met, without a doubt. Man's name is Marty Leno. I think he has the Alzheimer's now, which is horrendous. The funny thing is, that guy... Anyway, he worked on helicopters at Boeing mm-hmm. and Sikorsky and these other places, Fari. And he gave me the ones that Jimmy Carter, the helicopters that went down in the sand. He gave me a two-hour lecture on the board mm-hmm. of how that helicopter had no damn business going over the... Because they knew it had problems with sand getting in the rotors.
Oh, you talk about the Desert One, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And he goes, that thing, they because some general or generals had trumpeted that thing through, they could never just say it was a sucky helicopter and then do something different. And they ended up having to replace a titanium shaft, mm-hmm. $300,000 in those days, like every 100, 150 hours or something. He goes, but still, nobody would say this was a bad idea, sort of like your F-14, because there was too much money in it. And somebody was so far down the chain, they couldn't say it was a crummy helicopter. And what was the latest fiasco we just had? Was the
F-35 is multiple issues.
No,
the one is F-22.
No, the naval,
hypoxemia they were getting. I think hypoxemia is called. There were the air cleaning system inside of their aircraft. It's actually nauseating the pilots, and they're getting a blackout momentarily, and they don't even remember they had the blackout.
Right. Yeah, I remember reading that.
Yeah, and you know how much they spend on the mask and the ECS system there, the environmental control system for that aircraft?
There'll be no amount of money.
If they had only picked F-23, the YF-23 versus F-22. I know that why. I was on a bid team, on a preliminary bid team on the F-23 at Advanced Systems. You know what the problem was? Oh, 23 is expensive.
Yep.
Really? What are you buying? It's a life cycle cost. It's a life of a product that matters, not just original acquisition. And look how much problems we've had with F-22. And now they're finding 23 is a better aircraft. Japan is approaching Northrop if they can get their technology transfer permission from White House to possibly build F-23s in Japan. Now, some of the technology cannot be built that easily over there, including the skin. That's another issue. But that's much better aircraft we would have, better, the flight envelope, much better acceleration. But yes, it costs a little bit more. But sometimes you have to pay a little bit extra. Why would you drive a Bentley versus a BMW? Because Bentley is a better car, and it costs more. So.
Well, what's the naval ship where they wanted? Because now we have a lot of these engagements, you know, at shore against pirates and things like that, and they mm-hmm. wanted kind of a something bigger and better than essentially a PT boat, mm-hmm. and they ended up with this. What's the name of this ship? And now they decide that when they're all done with the damn thing, that it's drafts too deep, you can't go close to shore.
Oh, is this the
it's got the admiral's name on it. What the hell?
Yeah, the Zumwalt. Are you talking about Zumwalt?
No, it's not a destroyer. It's a close-to-shore thing. But it's turns out it's too deep. The draft's too big.
I think you're talking about the Zumwalt.
Maybe.
The class. And it's an anti-stealth, right? So, I mean, I'm sorry, it's a stealth. You actually doesn't have very little radio signature.
No, I'm talking about, that's a destroyer. I'm talking about this thing was supposed to be where you
loitering?
Could actually... You
the loitering one? The loitering ship?
Yeah, you know, you could actually chase a pirate in the shallow waters
and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. It turns out the draft is too deep? Yeah,
the
draft's too deep. Yeah. But you would think, if you got something you want to go in shallow waters, what's the first question you're going to ask? What's the draft of this thing?
Yeah, exactly.
But, how do we... I don't think we need to have, and I honestly don't know from all the Twitters, Maddie, back and forth. I don't know who's right or wrong in this thing. I don't know if there's more under the table. Whether the Democrats did something.
I always consider the source.
Well,
one of the things we don't do on Twitter, we take it as a gospel. Well, anybody can put a page together. What's the track record of that? Whoever was putting that together, especially when they're quoting, not themselves, but quoting somebody else, and it looks like a very nice and okay website or whatever, or news source. I mean, right now, one of the biggest things I'm having, because everything I said for the last two or three years since Comey was fired is coming to roost for the Trumpkins. So they throw me this, what about this, what about that? So I go and look, open up the link, some Bowah, who I've never heard before, website, a lot of colors, it looks like beer bars, or sometimes even close, even, I mean, Fox beats them. Let me put it this way. That's how bad these things are, okay? And you look at it, I just hit the delete button.
All right, Fryer,
we got two minutes.
Fryer, we got 2 minutes. There's a headline this morning. It said, take a page from the Clinton impeachment. The market's going to go straight up to the entire impeachment. I don't know where the market was. It wasn't at record levels when the...
The impeachment was right after the Russian debt crisis. Remember that?
Oh, so we were going up
long-term capital. It was easy to go up from that point. No, senor, we're all-time high. Just for the record, we went short last night. We said it a day before on the webinar. We said, because we had a webinar on Tuesday. We had a huge day down. Everything was a buy. We said next day we should go up at least halfway. We bounced off the 50-day on SPX, came up about halfway. It met all of our conditions. Now we have the high Jewish holidays that starts on Sunday. It goes through October 8th. That's you sell but Rosh Hashanah, you buy Yom Kippur. Exactly happened, by the way, in 98. It happens every year, but that year was even more pronounced. So with the DNI testimony starting today, we went short last night. So we're short now, and we're going to hold it through pretty close to Yom Kippur.
Any individual stocks? I mean, Boeing and Apple have been leading the pack. The FANGs made a huge comeback yesterday. Are we back being narrow again, or what are we doing?
I still think, from what the work I've done and showed me that, you know, we have talked about this late September, we're going to have a problem on the downside. It's still happening. I think it's going to come in. As far as the longer term with the market, the big difference between Clinton and Trump is Trump is all about the market only. That's his report card. And you've seen him every time the bad news comes, look how the market sells. I think this time the market will sell on his doing his impeachment.
Well, I hope, let's hope not, and let's hope this thing doesn't go too far.
Why not? I'm short.
Okay.
I gotta make some shekels.
Well, let it go down. You cover, and then
Listen, I was up for a while. I covered your new all-time high. Now we gotta go short. Murray, I got expenses, Murray.
I know. have a good week, buddy. Talk to you next week. SP Futures up 6. Nancy Futures up 11. Come back, Mr. David Adelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck, get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Blowing up by Section Jack, sounds like Mr. Matt Weber, Mr. David Andelman in a second. S&P futures up 6.25, NASDAQ futures up 11.50, Dow futures up 70. So we're rallying. We were down Friday. As of yesterday, we pretty much made up all of Friday. So we're probably a little ahead of the sell-off Friday on the impeachment. So we're probably plus on the impeachment, maybe a little bit. DAX up 67.5%, FTSE up 79, it's a whole 1%, CAC around up 45.8%. So, Europe is making back a bunch of yesterday there. Again, U.S.-China trade optimism. How you could possibly be optimistic after all this time? I don't know, but I mean, I guess it'd be better if there's some kind of a deal, but...
Some people are just optimistic when they get out of bed, Chief.
But I mean, it's... Right now, I don't see the repair from this happening anytime soon, do you?
No, I don't.
Anyway, Nikkei up 28, Shanghai down 26.9, Hang Seng up 96.4%. Over the, we have bonds, 10-year 1.70, the Bund minus 0.58, Japan minus 0.24, so nothing much moving there. Oil, down 7 cents, so nothing much moving there either. 56.42, Brent minus 1, natural gas, up a penny. Manny, I want you to, when you're going to buy gas for 3-something, whatever it is that our thieving guy, why don't you mention too with the lady in there, Arbob's $1.63 and he's like double Arbob. Think that'll get you too far?
Well, he'll tell you about all the taxes he's paying.
Well, that, you know, he may be right about that.
Yeah.
Silver, down 22 cents, 1740.84. Gold now down $2, $1.1510. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
The Cubs are done.
The party's over.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. No accidents to report on any of the area expressways, roadways, or tollways. We do have increased travel times, as is typical for this time of morning, especially on the Edens, Kennedy, Eisenhower, and Stevenson. Southside expressways, traffic building as well. But again, no issues or accidents to report, so that's good news. Only crash on the screen right now is up on the North Shore, Milwaukee Avenue, which is Route 21 at Route 137. There's report of a crash that's causing some delays. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, a beautiful late September day. Lots of sunshine, mild temperatures, a high of 71. Right now it's crystal clear and 61 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 85 today. Right now it is mostly cloudy and 76. In sports, as Chief mentioned, the Cubs season is officially over as far as playoff contention is concerned. They lost again last night in Pittsburgh to the Pirates 4-2. Their eighth straight loss as they limp to the finish line, just four games to go. White Sox beat up on the Indians 8-3. Diamondbacks top the Cardinals down in Phoenix 9-7. And Thursday night football tonight is a good one. Philadelphia Eagles travel to Green Bay to take on the Packers. Chief.
Is there any, hey David, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Is there any thought, I mean, any rational thought to having the people that played a Thursday night game should be two teams that came off their bye week?
To me, it's the most common.
The two teams that play Thursday night should what?
Be the two teams that come off the bye week. So nobody has a 3-day rest.
I have no idea. You'd have to call the commissioner.
I think it makes perfect sense, and it's something that a lot of people bring up. I don't know logistically with 32 teams if you can work that out, but it seems like you could. I mean,
well, it means you don't have one the first 2 weeks because nobody gets a bye the first couple weeks, right?
Right. Well, you could have one week one, obviously.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe week two you wouldn't be able to. So that would be an issue. But then, yeah, if maybe starting week three or whatever, I think you could probably work something like that out, and it makes perfect sense. Not unlike when they do this London game, they always give the teams a bye either before or I think after the London game.
Right.
But I agree. The 3-day rest thing, I mean, that's just, it's not good.
I mean, I used to do it for Thanksgiving, and really it's the same two teams did it every year, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But they were always at home. I mean, the team that did it every year.
The Bears play Thanksgiving again this year, I think.
At Detroit or?
Yeah,
in
like they did last year, I think. I'll have to check.
Detroit or Dallas?
I think Detroit, but
well, there's a night game now too. There's three games on Thanksgiving. I don't think the night game. Well, the night game is a Thursday night football.
Yeah, they play 11:30 a.m. on Thanksgiving at Detroit, last year
in Detroit. But it's not the same as when it used to snow during the games before the inside stadium. It always snowed.
Yeah, Detroit's been in a indoor stadium for what, 40 years now?
I don't think it's been 40, but it's been a long time.
When was the Silverdome built? The '70s.
I drove by that place. It's the guy who bought it for $300,000. Didn't he end up dumping it?
I don't think they're doing anything with it.
They sold it to some guy for $300,000. He was going to do like concerts and tractor pulls and that kind of crap in there. And I think he might have bailed on it after a while.
Yeah, it was built in 1975, so over 40 years they've been playing indoors. You're old.
Yeah, well, like I said, it was a long time ago, but Detroit it was a big deal to watch the things. That was before they just had the one then.
Yeah, well, I thought Cowboys and Redskins was always Thanksgiving too.
Well, but the Cowboys were always the home game. They were always, and I don't know, it was always the Redskins, but the
when I was growing up in the '80s and nineties, it seemed like it was Detroit and somebody. They'd either play the Packers, the Bears, or the Vikings usually. And then it was always Cowboys Redskins was like the afternoon, the later game.
Well, I'm going to say that the Detroit thing started in the '50s, and I'm going to say that the Cowboys probably followed on 80 or something. I mean, I don't know what the history of Thanksgiving games are. You could probably find it, but David, is there a chart for impeachments?
Yeah, there is. They had a thing with Clinton and. Maybe Nixon, even though, you know, he wasn't actually impeached, resigned before it got to that point, but something like 5 weeks to 3 months during the information gathering and the vote in the House of Representatives, on average, markets went down like 16%, I want to say, and when I say markets, I think it was the S&P 500, more than the NASDAQ, And then in the 3 months following, it gained it all back.
Well, Fari was saying it was right about the same time as the
limited, group. You only have two, to go on. I don't think they were trading many stocks when Andrew Johnson was impeached.
No. Well, what wasn't the long-term capital somewhere in there, too? Fari was just talking about that. But it wasn't. We weren't just sitting at all-time highs at the time, I guess.
Yeah, that's probably true. But no, there was a period of turbulence, and, obviously the Congress gets distracted from doing any kind of business, although, with gridlock and today's partisanship, Congress doesn't seem to do so much anyways. But, that is a factor that the government isn't functional. Maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. But that has been the two items in history that we have to sample from, which isn't much. There's a decline, and then there's a recovery.
Yeah, it's you wonder what we're going to have Wayne Madsen on tomorrow to go through the whole if, ands, or buts and the timing of this versus primaries versus conventions versus everything else.
Yeah, the timing is bad. And I'm certainly no partisan of Trump. But, to pull this, they couldn't have waited till the UN was over, when he's meeting with all these leaders and trying to put best foot forward, they throw that at him during that time. That was distasteful, in my opinion. And, there's worries over the Mexican-Canada trade deal. Will that happen? What kind of thing does this, lead to with China? Do they take a step back and say, hey, he's in trouble, we'll just walk slowly and see what happens? So there's offshoots. I mean, I don't really believe that he's going to get thrown out of office. I don't think it's going to get to that. You never know. But the offshoots really are not good as far as, trade and overall politics and just getting stuff done in Congress. And, it certainly puts off, any kind of infrastructure deal and probably, any effort. Who knows, gun control, maybe. Maybe they'll knock that out as well. They don't want to give him any win at this point. And, other items as well, lowering pharmaceutical costs, et cetera. So it's the offshoots that I think are more worrisome than the actual process.
Which you had another reason for Congress to do nothing for 5 months.
Yeah.
I
and who knows, maybe the market likes that. It tends to like gridlock. Maybe if you're a healthcare issue, then, the fact that, this is stalled and nothing's going to get done on lowering prices, unless Elizabeth Warren gets in, then that's it. And there's another theory, which I find interesting, that maybe the far left of the Democratic Party really, forced this on Pelosi because they didn't want, Biden, this hurts Biden big time, and they didn't want a centrist candidate, to get the nod. So certainly Biden gets hurt, along with presumably Trump.
I'm having to be honest with you. My feelings on Trump have been, I thought he would grow into the job. He didn't. I'm not going to go repeat any of this stuff. But I'm curious as to if they don't have more than this. I'm stunned at the timing. I mean, Pelosi's been absolutely against the impeachment stuff, especially to get this close to election. I'm like, it doesn't look to me like he did anything more in Ukraine than he's been doing all along.
Other president. I mean, you don't think they go to these places that are uncomfortable, Guatemala, Honduras, and say, hey, you're getting aid from us, do this, do that, or you're not going to get the aid. I mean, I'm not one of these people that says everybody does it, so it's okay.
There's an overriding attitude from this guy, and again, I can put up with it if he's making some progress. That the whole thing is his. It's my $500 million that Congress just gave to give you. He has an attitude that, as you know, just burns the hell out of me. But the point being, yes, do people go there? Does every president show up in Ukraine or Guatemala or wherever the hell they're going with a team of businessmen on the plane with them that are supposed to get the business? Yeah, it's a cesspool, and it always has been. And like Lou says, we're ripping the scab off a lot of this stuff that maybe regular people are seeing it for the first time and they're not happy with it. But you and I always suspected it was there. I mean,
oh, of course.
You know, I mean, but yeah, like I said, I don't know that this, unless there's something we're not seeing, I don't see anything all that egregious right here. Now, if he threatened to withhold the money that Congress, I mean, we all know that if you threaten to withhold the money from Congress like it's your dough, hey, come on. You're overreaching your powers. In a perfect world, somebody would slap you on the hand and say, you can't do that, Donald. But here, everybody seems to do whatever they damn well please. And it's hard in a cesspool to pick out the worst guy in the cesspool. I mean, right?
I agree. I don't think I've ever agreed with one of your statements more than this one, ever.
But that doesn't make it right. I mean, if everybody's cheating at basketball, you still need a referee and say, wait a minute. We're going to let people play a little bit, but there's limits to everything. There needs to be an adult in the room. You know, someplace, you would hope, if there are any adults left. Now, I would say, if you don't like him, put up a real candidate and vote him out. Right? We're at that stage, I think. Unless there's a piece of paper somewhere that somebody comes out and says, oh, now I know why you did it. I mean, has there anybody been hinting at that?
Yeah, I mean, this whistleblower thing, supposedly there was something released to Congress, full details of the whistleblower, and supposedly he is going to testify today in Congress that we'll get more details and the like. And supposedly there's more meat there to dig into, but, you know, like you said, until we see something that has a little bit more, you know, foundation, you know, to proceed, it's a waste of time, it's a waste of money, and it's a big waste of taxpayer, you know, we're paying these folks to legislate, you know, bills to make things better, and, you know, you hope for some, despite partisanship and gridlock, and there's going to be less.
Well, we seem to be having, this is what I was talking about yesterday with, I forget it was Lewis today. Was Kevin? We don't seem to know as a country whether we're on foot or horseback, morally or whatever. I mean, we have a CEO someplace. If he grabs the behind of an intern, today's world you're going to be fired, right? I mean,
right.
If you cheat on your expense account and somebody finds it on the board, you're going to be fired. I mean, I'm not talking about you misadded the thing and it's $50. I'm talking about, you know, you go someplace and you say it was for business and you had somebody other than your wife there with you at Turnberry in Florida, you're going to get fired. And now, on the people, the guys that are supposed to be, in a perfect world, a moral leader of the free world, we're that's not so bad. It's not as bad as we did last. I mean, we really are coming to eight different sets of rules, and you really would not like to have the guy at the top having been able to do whatever he damn well pleases. Now, if in a perfect world, which we surely are not in, if there was a whistleblower complaint that's supposed to go someplace, I don't know the you know where whistleblower complaints go, and all of a sudden his excuse for an attorney general grabbed it and wouldn't let it go to that place and stuck it in his desk drawer, is that an impeachable offense? The answer probably is yes, just like grabbing the behind of the intern.
Right. Right? And I mean, that does have some merit here.
No, but I'm saying, but we've got to this point where the people who like him versus people who realize the people on the Democratic side did a bunch of bad crap too. We've got this whole different, oh, it's not so bad. Or, I mean, even I'm looking at this Ukraine thing. Out of all the stuff he's done, why pick this one? Yet I don't think you should
because
be.
Because they couldn't stick the Russian thing.
Okay, but
and
I'm
they
saying
they were looking for another one, and they found what they thought was a smoking gun, and maybe it is.
If you apply the same standards to what we're trying to do to the rest of the people in this country, I mean, if you get the CEO of a place, you know, has oral sex with an intern in the company office, he's out of there. Yeah, Clinton is in there. I mean, why is it all of a sudden when we get to this level? Now, I get it. I mean, I think I get it, David. That if your kid is and he's, you know, George Patton, who had problems. If you think that the chairman or the general, whatever, is something wrong with him morally, but for the next month, he's the best chance you got to get the objective and get most people home in one piece. Probably there's a gray area there and you go with it. You know, but then you get him the hell out of there as fast as you can after the war is over. I mean, right? If there's a certain, because not everybody who's talented is going to be the nicest person or the most moral person. And it's not like we haven't used immoral people when we needed them before, right? I mean, I get that part. But I don't see how as a country we can be going these two different directions. I mean, am I wrong, Maddie, on this or not? I mean, you know.
No.
I mean, if anything, the morals of the place should emanate from the Oval Office, not land there in the mud.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. I mean,
fact that we're way down that road, David, but in a perfect world, all this stuff is impeachable. By him, by Pelosi, by everybody. By Biden's kid. All this stuff is wrong. Right?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you made an analogy to, you know, a football game or a basketball game or whatever. If everyone's committing fouls or whatever, you still need a referee to say, hey, look, you know, I'll let you guys play and get away with a little bit of stuff, but sooner or later I'm going to call a foul or throw a flag.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, and maybe it's a poor analogy, but take pro football. I mean, you know, we watched the Bears and Denver, and that one tackle on Denver, you know, had four or five holding penalties in the first half. And, you know, the commentary was, well, geez, you know, if they really called everything, you could probably call holding on the offensive line every single play. And that's probably true. But sooner or later, you have to say, hey, look, you're going to either stop grabbing the guy around the collar and throwing him to the ground, or we're going to call these things.
Well, I mean, guys that have played a lot of football would tell me the reason why people hold is because they're getting beaten. And if you're getting beaten by the guy in front of you, and it's cost you three holding penalties, and your coach doesn't give you some help, and you get the fourth, I blame it on the coach. Because obviously, the guy's getting around you, and you got to grab him. Right?
Right.
I mean, am I right, Manny, or not? I mean,
right. And unfortunately, I mean, you know, if you go back, you know, there were questions about Obama's, you know, legitimacy as far as citizenship. I mean, that I think was a bunch of baloney or whatever. But there was, I don't think there was much in the way of, you know, questions about his morals or whatever. He was distinguished. He was a good orator or whatever. But if you take him out of the equation, you know, Bush and the family and the, you know, their ownership and their, you know, strings attached and whatever, you know, and you can go back practically every single president, and we're not, you know, and I think Clinton was well liked and whatever, but, you know, obviously he had skeletons in his, you know, his closet as far as sexual contact even before he was president, you know, and the like. The leadership that you're talking about, unfortunately, doesn't seem to come
I would say with Obama, and I know there's going to be people that, the man won the Peace Prize before he even got in there, right?
Yeah.
He gets in there, and I've read stuff, and I, you know, I'm sure there's stuff around, Maddie could find it, of how many people he authorized to be killed in drone strikes before people even knew they were happening. And I think it's upwards of 2,000.
Wow.
I'm going to say, I always had a real problem with that with him. Because out of the 2,000, on our best day, if we got the people who were absolutely guilty of being assassinated overseas and should have been, what percentage, Maddie, would you give that we hit the right guys? I would have real problem
with that. A drone strike as opposed to like an airstrike?
Oh,
I think
it's
a much higher percentage.
Okay.
But 100 to 1 higher.
Why?
Because I think it's much more, I don't know if focused is the right word. But
right, so if
targeted,
I'm walking down a, if I'm walking
targeted.
Down
yeah,
a
targeted.
Street, if I'm walking down the street with you and you're after me, you're saying that you're just collateral damage or what?
Well, in acts of war, I mean.
But these are undeclared wars. I mean,
acts of violence.
What I'm saying,
shootings on the south side. Yes, there's collateral damage. I get it. I'm not justifying it. I don't want to be in any wars. I don't ever want to do any of that stuff. I don't get it. I cut our defense spending by 90%.
I'm saying, what's the number we have?
I know that going to war and or dropping bombs on people from airplanes is nowhere near, or there is 100 times more collateral damage than a targeted drone strike.
Okay, but start from the beginning.
And we're not losing American lives.
Okay, start from the beginning. Do we have any business without running it by the American people and Congress?
We haven't done that since the
40s. Ever. But now we don't, I'm saying we're doing it on a weekly basis.
We've never done that in my lifetime.
Okay, but we had
an approved war.
We've never had the ability. Obviously, Vietnam was not, quote, declared. I get that. I was there. I wasn't in Vietnam, but I was surely around it. Korea, police.
It's never happened in my lifetime, Chief.
Let me finish. We've never had a situation, unbeknownst to anybody. Everybody knew we were in Vietnam. Okay? We don't know that nobody here knows that we knocked off 150 people in Yemen last week. Why? It's undeclared. What are we doing in Yemen?
I agree.
Nobody knows that.
I agree with you.
I mean, I don't know. I read somewhere the totals. I have no idea. I couldn't tell you what day, what
it's
place.
It's a way to fight Iran without declaring war on Iran, because they're funding the Yemen war, and they're there.
But we're dropping people in Somalia, too. Is Iran in part of Somalia?
I don't know that. I would guess yes, but I don't know that.
All I'm saying is, I better if all of a sudden one of these things hit the wrong person, I'd be beside myself if I was president. I'd have a problem with that morally. Oh, we bleeped up. We got the wrong guy. So what? We were aiming at the right guy. I maybe that's why I shouldn't be president.
Well, yeah, I would too. Just like I would when we sprayed fire over Vietnamese villages and killed women, you know, hundreds of thousands of women and children. I wouldn't feel great about it. I agree. What's your point? You're preaching to the choir.
No, my point is this stuff is going on. We're taking the idea of undeclared war to a whole new thing.
Yeah, we've never declared a war in my lifetime.
Well, what I'm saying is now we've got...
In fact, I don't think we've declared one in your lifetime.
You're right.
So, I mean, what do you want? I mean, what do you...
I'm saying
that
these ongoing police actions, we're all around the world, we're killing people. I don't think we were 30 years ago. I mean, Vietnam was, yes, an undeclared war.
Well, we didn't have the technology 30 years ago to do drone strikes.
And that makes it right?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Like I said, I am pretty much a pacifist when it comes to this. I don't think we should be killing anybody. So, you know, that's my opinion. I agree with you on that. But I do think that if there's a more targeted way where there's no American lives at stake and there's less collateral damage, then that's the right way to do it.
The Declaration of Independence says that all men, it doesn't say all Americans, have a right to things.
100% agree.
And, you know, I guess, I don't know, I have issues with it. That's why we have a justice system. If we think somebody might be a scumbag,
I don't think we should be able to do any sort of military action of any kind without it being approved by Congress.
I would agree,
but
Amen.
somehow, I don't know how. I mean, I'm not that smart. Somehow, that Congress is irrelevant.
Right. They've got. Again,
executive orders starting back with the Clintons, and then it got more with the Bushes, and then it got even more with the Obamas. The executive branch has way too much power.
I would say that, again, this is a gray area. I would say that Clinton was the one who said Osama bin Laden is the most dangerous man in the world. This is when
he turned out he was right.
Turned out he was right. Well, he funded 9/11. It wasn't his idea.
Well, that's a big part of it.
Well, but I think they would have got funding from other people. But I'm not saying he's. But obviously, the destroyer Cole was all his, right? I'm thinking, wasn't that all his, David? Pretty much.
Yes. Yes. Right?
But so if we would have found him someplace, and we knew that he wasn't about to be arrested peaceably, I don't necessarily have a problem taking quote him out. But the ongoing
Bush had him in the hills of Afghanistan and let him out.
But, I mean, this ongoing thing that everybody we sort of get reported as a terrorist, we just shoot up the street they're on, and anybody else who gets nailed. I'm not saying we're doing that, but we start talking about a couple of thousand people. I'm going to say there's a few in there that didn't deserve it.
I agree.
We've had people.
We're getting some people saying we declared war against Iraq and Afghanistan. That is incorrect.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, we did not. The last time Congress passed joint resolutions saying that a state of war existed was on June 5th, 1942.
But Bush,
when the U.S. declared war on Bulgaria, Hungary, and Romania.
But Bush 1 did get some kind of an approval of Congress. We didn't declare war.
We did not. It hasn't happened since 1942.
No, I mean, he did go to Congress. So he got permission, he got budgetary permission to shove these guys back out of Kuwait into Iraq. I don't think we ever, quote, declared war on Iran. You are correct.
I'm 100% correct. We have not declared a state of war since 1942.
But it wasn't like he didn't go in front of Congress. He did. He got permission.
He did not get past joint resolutions.
No, but he got some sort of permission. We'll talk to Lou about
There's a right and a wrong answer to this. This is not a gray area. We have not passed a joint resolution saying a state of war is existed since June 5th, 1942.
Correct.
Period.
Right? Don't just SP futures up 4.25. NASDAQ futures up 4.75. We gonna hang up to the upside here today, David, or are we sinking?
No, I think the market will give away again.
Really? Boeing going to continue to lead the charge of the Dow? They're the entire
Dow. I think Boeing looks decent. I mean, they've already set aside monies for claims, and you know, not that it can't break $20, but at this point, I think if it breaks $20, I think it's probably a buy.
All right, David, take care of yourself. Talk to you next week.
Right.
We'll be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.